Lupa kuat kata Adnan luat suka Dalai pakuat kata Miau Neuro Marvies. I was thinking about what subject I wanted to dedicate this episode to. It's Magic 13. You know, I think what I want to address is the different sort of stereotypes, not stereotypies, stimming behavior, but just, you know, the different stereotypes we have about what makes a person autistic or what makes a person have Asperger's or what is the difference between a neurodivergent person who's on the autism spectrum and a neurotypical person. I can come up with a few just because I hear them over and over and over, and I know you do too. We all do. The reason I know how prevalent it is because it's all over the social media accounts of self-advocates for people on the spectrum and parents who have YouTube channels for their kids. Let's list a few. Let's just go down. I don't have them written out, but they're pretty obvious. Like, one is, if you're autistic, you don't make eye contact. Now, for myself, I didn't make any eye contact as a kid. I made uneven eye contact up until the 90s. I'm 52, so in the 90s, I was like going into my 30s. And I had a friend. We're still friends, which is wonderful, considering they say that we autistics can't keep friends. Sometimes we can keep friends, but she was the one who taught me when you talk to people, when you interact with people, you have to look them in the eye. And I knew right there, I knew that she was trying to help me. It was not a criticism of anything. And I said, yeah, you're right. And from that point on, I made more of a concerted effort. Now it's to the point where either I can do it and it doesn't bother me, or if I do it, I feel like I'm doing it too much. Like, you know, having the infamous autistic serial killer's stare, like how we feel we look, and sometimes how we actually look. Like if we hold the gaze of the other person for too long, it can come off hostile, or it can come off like we're sexually interested in the person. So that's me. I know there are people out there, especially autistic women, who never did have a problem with eye contact. And then there are women who say that it physically hurts to make eye contact. So I have actually heard the whole gamut. And I've also heard that these women have gone in to get diagnosed, either to get a diagnosis for themselves or for their kids. And the doctor, the psychologist or psychiatrist will say, well, you're able to make eye contact, or your daughter is making eye contact. So there's just no way that a person can be autistic, because autistic people are not capable of making eye contact. So that's one. Another one is the flat monotone voice. Now, this is something I have struggled with my whole life. And if I want to make sure I have vocal inflection, that's something that I actually have to make myself do. So I remember up until it was the last few years, I haven't heard it quite as much. But throughout my teens, 20s, and 30s, and probably part of my 40s, actually. I've heard people say, oh, you sound like Ben Stein, or maybe my face won't have any expression. And this happens still, like, oh, do you not like me? Or like, do you hate me? Or no, not at all. It's just that I don't tend to have an expression usually on my face. Or maybe it's as bad as having resting bee face. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're seeing. I have no idea. But I remember telling this one girl, well, at least I won't have wrinkles when I get old. But she thought I was actually purposely not making facial expressions because I didn't want to have wrinkles when I got older. But I'm like, no, it's I just don't do it. And I've been criticized for it, but I don't do it. And some people think that I'm not happy to see them. Well, sometimes, this is point number three, sometimes I don't recognize them. And it's not because I don't care. It's because I have sort of a face blindness thing going on. So yeah, point number two about the monotone voice or the lack of expression in the face, you know, the flat affect. That's a stereotype too. It happens to be something that I personally have struggled with, and a lot of autistics I know from online. I don't know that many autistics in my personal life, but, you know, they say that they have struggled with it too. The face blindness thing, I have heard other people, other autistics say that. So I'm going to leave a link about that. I think it's proposognosia, but I may be wrong about that, the technical term. Okay, another stereotype about autistic people is that our stims are all, or we have two stims, the rocking back and forth in a seated position, like on the bed or something, or on the floor, or the hand flapping. Now, I have done the rocking back and forth myself quite a bit without even realizing it until it was pointed out by people who saw me doing it. Hand flapping maybe a little bit too, but I don't think hand flapping has ever really been a big one with me, but there are other stims that people do. And it's not because you're autistic that your stims are going to look all that different necessarily from the stims of autistic people or people who don't have autism. People without autism twirl their hair if they have longer hair. People who are autistic do the same thing. People who are not autistic tap their feet or tap their nails or a pencil against the desk. Autistic people do that too. So you're not necessarily going to see a stereotypy that's like super in your face and all of a sudden it's going to distinguish the autistic from the allistic. Okay, what else? The restricted interest thing. Yeah, I have that too. It can go on and on and on forever, like my cat obsession. That's probably never going to stop. I also have different ones in writing and in the arts, but far from pointless. I do not consider, like, the meowing that I do all the time, no matter how many times I meow, that's, to me, that's not pointless. That's not like a vocal stim that's pointless. That's, or a repetitive behavior, or even connected to an interest. It's connected to an interest, which is cats. It's not pointless to me because I get something out of the sound. So saying meow or doing the meowing or sort of associating myself with a cat or kind of pretending I'm a cat, if you will, I'm getting something out of that. It's enriching for me. And my assumption is that it's enriching for the person that I'm meowing at. Although sometimes I do not know until after the fact that it really bothers them. And I've had people say, oh, meow is all we effing hear. And there's this one guy I was on tour with. Yes, autistic people do go on tour. They are musicians. But he drew comic books and he drew a character of me, and everyone in the comic book was having a conversation and saying all these different things. And in my speech bubble, there was one word and it was meow. So, and that was the same person who said, I don't mind that you do it, but geez, it's OMG, it's all we effing hear. You know, except back then, nobody said OMG. This was back in the mid-90s. So, yeah, there are things like that. My whole life, the stereotyped interest, the restricted interests that I've had have been sort of the female, I guess you would associate it more with a female autistic, how we have special interests that are really similar to what typically developing girls and women have, like horses or other animals or art, writing, history, things like that. All of my interests have been really typical things like that. Whereas maybe someone who doesn't know very much about autism is going to think that it's all about spinning the wheels of a toy car or being into train schedules or whatever, counting the number of toothpicks that fell on the floor just by clapping an eye on them, which was in Rain Man. I think it was 88 toothpicks. But yeah, so there's that. Oh, I don't have the criteria in front of my face, but I'm trying to think. Okay, or that we don't use hand gestures when we speak. Now, some of us do. I actually do tend to use hand gestures when I speak. I just use them a little bit differently. Like, I'll indicate somebody who maybe I'm talking about somebody who isn't there, but I'll put my right hand out to indicate an empty space. And in my mind, it's like me indicating who I'm talking about, but the people around me will look and not see anything, and they won't understand what my gesture was supposed to represent. And it doesn't, until that's pointed out to me, I don't think there's anything weird about it. I also have exaggerated hand gestures. So it just looks like it looks like the stereotype of the Italian person who just really uses overdone hand gestures. So I use hand gestures, they're just a little different. And I know that there are some autistics who cannot speak and use hand gestures at the same time. Now, I do nod and I do shake my head, and that seems to be fairly typical. The walking and balancing thing and the being clumsy thing, that I have. I have really weird balance. I get set off balance very easily. I used to think that it was because I'm tall but have small feet. And then there were times when I thought it was the electromagnetism of the universe that was doing it. But when I found out that it's really common in autistics, things started making a lot more sense. And I'm also very clumsy. I can be extremely elegant. Like, I can appear elegant when I'm trying to, when I'm on stage or whatever. But then something more mundane, like getting out of the van, that's when I'm going to trip and, you know, sprain something or whatever. And I also had this way of walking where I sort of bobbed my head that people used to make fun of a lot. And also I used to walk and not swing my arms. And I didn't really think about that. And they would tell me, they would point out the head bobbing thing. Now, this was before I knew anything about autism, and even before I started thinking maybe I'm autistic. But the hand swinging thing, I had people tell me, sorry, there's a vehicle of some sort out there, either a fire, I think it's a fire engine, but anyway, they told me that it was like I was walking like a robot, but to me, seeing somebody who did move their arms when they walked looked like a robot, because it looks like the stereotype of the biped, the bipedal creature walking. If you're bipedal and you have 2 feet and you're using them to walk, why would you need your arms? Running, I can see, because there's a different velocity and ways that the hands and the arms would be useful. Oh my goodness. Anything else? So autistic people like to have things on them that have certain textures, or wear things that are textured. Maybe they'll carry an old piece of string or something that doesn't really look like it would be a comfort item with them. I have carried stuffed animals with me. So I've done that. I've done it as an adult. But I'm also the type of person, there's a stereotype that if you're autistic, you care more about how your clothes feel than how they look. And I agree. I want my clothes to feel good against my skin, because that is a big deal to me. And even just my skin can get red just from being lightly brushed up against something that's kind of scratchy. But at the same time, I'm really into aesthetics too. I used to be a model. Yes, autistic people can be models. And I do fashion design and things that involve looking good, appreciating clothing. So for me, it's both. But I can see why maybe for some people, comfort would be way, way more important than the way the clothing looks. Hair washing. There are some people who they just want to wash and wear hairstyle. Maybe they don't have the best hygiene all the time. I'm like that too. I would have to say because I have comorbid depression and other things along with the autism, I don't have the best hygiene all the time. And I do have a hair. Right now I have long hair, so it's easier to sort of, you know, make it wash and wear when it's long, because when it's short and you want it to have shape, and my hair is baby fine. So if I want it to have shape, then I'm going to have to like blow dry it or put product in it or something. But I think that stereotype is something that can definitely apply to me. And I need to figure out what it is exactly that makes me so averse to water. And I have always been that way. You hear about other autistics who really like to watch slow moving water. I like to be in a hot tub or a pool. But there are a lot of autistics who feel like their senses are coming together when they look at water, or they put their hand under a slow dripping faucet or something. So everyone is a little bit different. And someone with higher functioning autism, as it's called, is going to have different needs than someone who doesn't perceive the different parts of their body as being connected, or even connected to the earth, you know, much less connected to each other. Having level 3 autism, of course, that is going to be different. And a lot of the stereotypes, like the hand flapping that people think about, are going to be there much more, generally speaking, for people who have that type of autism. So please let me know, leave me a message. Let me know what your stims are like, what stereotypes you defy, what stereotypes you embody. I don't know, just participate. This is a new thing for me, having this podcast. So I'm excited to get it off the ground, so to speak. All right. Be NeuroMarvy and have an autastic morning, afternoon, evening, night, rest of the week, rest of the month, rest of the year. Meow. Lupa buat kata Atman buat suka Terlai buat kata